Good morning. I'm actually happy that I am talking after the previous talk, which was really great, continuing on the arsenic theme in rice. And I'm going to be talking about the impact of silica minerals on arsenic uptake. So we know that arsenic is naturally forming in the environment through the weathering of arsenic-bearing minerals, makes its way to soils and some groundwaters around the world, and can, when crops are grown on this impacted soil, can lead to accumulation of arsenic in rice grains, for example. And then when humans ingest contaminated arsenic, they can be exposed to potentially harmful levels. We all know that, of course, arsenic is a toxin, and acute exposure can lead to death pretty rapidly. But when we're talking about arsenic exposure through food and through water, we're really dealing with low doses over a long period of time, leading to a set of symptoms termed arsenicosis, which is really exemplified by this pretty dramatic skin lesion on hands, leading to skin cancer, other types of cancers that develops over a long period of time ingesting low doses. And in addition to drinking contaminated groundwater, like in Southeast Asia, you can also get exposed through food. And while this is principally expressed in Southeast Asia, it's also a worldwide problem, as we just saw. This is a recent study just looking at total arsenic concentrations in rice grain from around the world. And in this particular study, it's interesting that in Bangladesh, where we hear mostly about arsenic in rice, had less than what we find in the US. Now, we don't know if this is, in this case, if it was DMA, or we just know that the total was higher. So really, it's a worldwide problem that we should be concerned about. And with that, we know that speciation is important, not only for toxicity, but also for the mechanisms of plant uptake. So in aerobic conditions, we have arsenic 5 predominating, which is a phosphate analog. It gets transported into root cell membranes, which I've really depicted simply in this little cartoon of the blue circle. Cells actively pump out hydrogen ions, and then anions like arsenate or phosphate, oops, are co-transported as the hydrogen ions go back along an electropotential gradient, leading to accumulation within the cell. However, in anaerobic conditions, we have the reduced form of arsenic, or arsenic 3, predominating. And this has recently been shown to be a salicylic acid analog. So salicylic acid is taken up through what's called aquaporin channels. And these are intrinsic membrane-bound proteins. They open up just ever so slightly to allow the passage of very small neutral compounds, like water, urea, and also salicylic acid and arsenic acid. So you can have competition going on between these two compounds at the root cell membrane, mostly not due to areas of binding on a transport protein, but more like a bottleneck effect through these very small channels. So in bulk rice paddy soil, this is the form that's predominant. So this mechanism is important, as we're starting to see in the literature. There's a couple studies coming out recently in the last just few years where they look at salicylic acid concentrations. And in this case here, you can see that as salicylic acid in soil solution becomes higher, there's a decrease in arsenic accumulation in the straw and also in the grain. Similarly, in this study that was just done this year, if you just focus your attention on part B, this was looking at the soil solution after plants were grown in solution where there was either dissolved silica added or not, an arsenic 3 or not, arsenic 5 or not. And basically, if you just look at this line here, this is when you had high dissolved silica and arsenic 3. So when there was high dissolved silica, the arsenic concentration remaining in soil solution was high. So these two studies indicate that salicylic acid is important, and we should be concerned and thinking about the effect of salicylic acid on arsenic accumulation. So this led us to the to ask this question: what are the effects of silica-bearing minerals on arsenic accumulation in rice? And really what we're concerned about is this competition between silicic acid and arsenic acid. And if we find an effect, is this consistent across the different plant fractions? So we wanted to start with a highly weathered tropical soil that was low in dissolved or plant available silica. So we chose this soil taken from the Big Island of Hawaii. On the oldest part of the island here, these soils are over 150,000 years old. They're highly weathered, and we obtained the soil from the BW Horizon, which is very low in plant-available silica. And to that soil, we artificially loaded it with arsenic and grew a California rice variety on it. We have other studies with different rice varieties from around the world, which I won't show here. We also had four soil amendments and kept the water flooded with 300 micrograms per liter total arsenic, 80% of which was arsenic 3. We're trying to simulate conditions that you might find in an area that has contaminated groundwater. We chose these four treatments. One was control, which means that there was no silica amendment, but there was arsenic. And then we had a quartz sand, diatomaceous earth, or cellite, which is named in the graphs, and also silica gel. And we chose these because they have very different dissolved silica concentrations at equilibrium. So the quartz is very similar to the soil, very low. Diatomaceous earth is a little bit higher. And then notice the broken axis here. Silica gel is very, very high, relatively high, with respect to dissolved silica concentrations. So we incorporated these into soil and grew the plants to maturity. And looking at the dissolved silica concentrations, the silica gel throughout the growth period. So each point was however many days since germination. So silica gel remained pretty high. The diatomaceous earth, the quartz, and the control were all very, very low. I don't really have an explanation for why they didn't follow the expected pattern, but I'll get to that later. So another thing to note is that during the growth season, we monitored just overall plant health, and none of the plants showed really any signs of toxicity, or and there were really no differences in yield between the treatments. And so we're mostly interested not really in the toxicity to the plants themselves, but how much arsenic is getting accumulated into the grain for concern for human health. And so here are the data for total silica within the different plant fractions. And I'm going to show a series of graphs. Here we have concentration, in this case, milligrams of silica per kilogram of dry weight of plant fraction on the y-axis. And on the x-axis, I have the bars of the silica treatments with increasing dissolved silicon in solution. And we have basically, like you're looking at a plant, root, stem, leaf, husk, and grain. And here, there's really no difference in the total silica within the different plant fractions. But if we zoom in and just look at the grain only, you can see an increase in silicon content in the grains with increasing availability of silicon in solution. And looking at the arsenic, the same kind of graph here, please note the broken axis here. The arsenic sorbs very strongly to the roots. And so it's mostly in the roots. And surprisingly to us, there was actually more total arsenic in the treatments that had higher dissolved silica concentrations. But the distribution is different. So if we just zoom in now on the grains, which is what we're concerned about for human health, you actually see an increase in total arsenic concentrations in the grain, and then a sharp decrease. So like I said, we have our main conclusion is that different silica minerals alter the distribution of arsenic in rice. And really, what I've shown it are two kind of different systems going on. So first, in the case of like diatomaceous earth or the control, we have relatively low silica available, which can compete with arsenic for sorption sites onto iron minerals. I don't know if, can you see that? Is that clear? So the dissolved silicon can compete with sorption sites, releasing arsenic into solution. And then that can move toward plant roots with transpiration or mass flow and lead to an increase in arsenic accumulation by the plant. However, in the case with silica gel, where you have relatively high dissolved silicon concentrations, you still can have competition for sorption onto iron minerals, releasing arsenic into solution. But the pool of dissolved silicon is much higher, and that can then compete with arsenic for uptake by the plant, leading to a decrease in accumulation in the rice grains. And that's what we think is going on. Our data indicate that knowing something about the mineralogy, knowing something about the dissolved silicon concentrations might be really important when you're considering worldwide arsenic accumulation in rice. So with that, I just want to acknowledge my funding source and the Fendorf Lab Group, especially Ben Kokar, Sam Ying, and Yoko Masue, who's helped me a lot in the lab, and also Guang Chao Li, our lab manager. And thank you for your attention. Jason?
I was wondering about the relative affinity for roots between silica and arsenic. Is there studies on that and also on iron oxide, you know?
Are you talking about like uptake by the plant itself?
Yeah.
So there have been, there's one big study that was published in PNAS in 2008 by Ma, who was studying a lot of, you know, silicon transport into rice. Rice accumulates a lot of silicon, but it's not a plant essential nutrient, so there hasn't been a lot of attention focused on it. But he really came up with a mechanism for silicon accumulation, and it has shown that arsenic as arsenite gets taken up in the same pathway, so you have competition going on. Yeah. As far as the iron minerals, there have been studies showing that silicate and arsenite can compete for sorption, but we're planning to do some sorption, desorption things with these specific minerals to really show that that's what's going on. Yeah, that's a great question. As Professor Leppert was saying earlier, when you do these extraction procedures, you can have transformations going on, and I was concerned about that. So here I'm just looking at total. I have been doing some X-ray absorption spectroscopy to try to get at the speciation, but for my study, the total concentration in the grains is so low that I'm not getting good spectra to really do speciation without having to do extractions, but I'm not convinced that the extraction procedures are really reliable to say whether it's arsenic 5 or arsenic 3, but certainly you can say whether it's DMA or arsenic 3. I have done some on roots because the concentrations are much higher, and I actually see arsenic 3 and DMA in roots themselves, but in the grains the concentration is so low I can't really tell with that particular method.
About out of time for questions for this, so thank you very much.